sects, lies, and videotape. In some brethren groups, elders are officially appointed, can be removed, and may need to be if they take too much power. TW groups like I was raised in work a bit differently. Jim Morris isn't the only man ever to take on unofficial TW elders. Russell Rule is an SH disturber too. Of that, there can be no doubt. Russell went out to all of his Brooklyn TW Assembly's brothers' meetings. He stayed back after breaking bread on Sundays and heard the letters getting read aloud as to what the assembly, where he went, had decided to do. Men were mysteriously getting silenced. In TW circles, silenced means the men were being punished with a ban on speaking at Bible studies, preaching the gospel, and taking audible part in worship services and so on, getting treated the same way they treated women. All manner of surprise decisions were being announced on Sundays. Russell noted that although he'd been at all related meetings, guns were getting jumped. Much that was announced as decided by the assembly had been secret until that very moment when the assembly was informed of what they themselves had supposedly decided. Things that had been argued over with no decision in sight at the last meeting were now magically declared something the assembly had decided. The whole assembly, except the people who didn't agree. TWs are usually more democratic than this. It's not supposed to go like that. Because once something's declared decided, it is never undone or even really discussed afterwards. The decisions are sacrosanct. Russell got very sick of people denying what they themselves had absolutely, positively said in previous administrative meetings, or, in some cases, earlier on in the same meeting. He got tired of people promising to not write letters to other assemblies until people came to an agreement, only to read already drafted decision letters on Sunday anyway. He got tired of people saying they'd speak to someone or would reveal information about something at a future date, only to then refuse to do it, denying having agreed to do any of that to begin with. So even though he knew that the taking of minutes or notes isn't really done in most TW Brothers meetings, Russell did something very odd. What Russell did was start tape recording Brothers meetings and transcribing them when he got home. Not ministry or teaching meetings, brothers' meetings. Power stuff, the really important meetings. And he'd bring in the transcription to the next meeting so he could show people things they'd said but were now denying that anyone had said at all. There it all was, in black and white. Awkward. Some would say that what is done in brothers' meetings is very private and secret. Hidden. Occult. Tell it not in Gath. Leave the streets of Ashkelon out of it too. Others would say that the numerous people these decisions affect have a right to know what goes on in them, that if people ever found out how the men behaved in these meetings, the men might be shamed into behaving better. Russell is clearly of the latter view, felt the secrecy was being abused, that the concept of discretion was being used as an excuse to wield unquestioned power, wanted what we nowadays call transparency, as opposed to opaqueness and obtuseness. There also seems to have been a problem in the Brooklyn TW group where whenever people on one side of a punishment issue started to speak, people on the other side would just stand up and walk out. When the older guys did this, they'd just come back the next week and ignore what the other side had been saying when they'd walked out. In the case of Russell and his friends, they'd instead pick right back up at whatever incited them to walk out, with a transcript of it in their hand. This walking out thing was being done by both sides, but the punishment yay side was eager to punish the punishment what side for doing it. When Russell and friends did it, it was ungodly and rebellious. When the other side did it, it was divine, righteous indignation, being angry on behalf of God himself. Assembly decisions, brothers' meetings, and so on, are downright holy to us TWs, sacred. So much that I was quite superstitious about sharing a transcript of a brothers' meeting in my book. Nevertheless, I overcame my superstition and did it anyway. The transcript I included involves Russell Rule and Joe McCrum trying to get the older men to reveal what exactly were the facts behind their announcement, the one being made to the entire assembly Sunday morning after all members have been asked to stay back after non-members and children have left. the announcement was that they, the assembly, would now punish Dennis Ryan by silencing him. Rule and McCrum were about half of the people in the assembly, and therefore felt entitled to ask things like exactly why they were silencing Dennis. Sharing this information reminds me that I was raised to make assembly decisions such an idol that looking with unaverted eyes upon what in any other church group would be recorded officially feels terribly, terribly taboo, like allowing infidel unbelievers in to gaze on our golden boot idol. Makes me uncomfortable, but I think I should do it so we can see exactly what is really going on in these situations. This is an audiobook, so I'm going to have to sum up the transcript rather than show it to you like it is in the book. The transcripts show elderly brothers Dubois and Eustace announcing an assembly decision. The assembly has decided, they announce, the silencing of Dennis Ryan for not bowing to an assembly decision. Russell Rule and Joe McCrum, as members of the assembly, ask exactly what assembly decision Dennis is not bowing to, and they are told to be quiet. The fact that Russell and Joe have in the past walked out of meetings in which they were not allowed to be heard is thrown in their faces. In a TW group, assembly decisions are supposedly decided by the assembly, but the simple fact is that men meet beforehand and decide everything, and the meeting held to supposedly decide the matter is nothing more than an announcement of what has happened already. When any form of discussion seems about to start at that point, the announcement is repeated and the thing is immediately brought to a close. This is what happens with Russell and Joe. TWs, not having official leadership, are very big on the biblical directive to be of one mind, to be in agreement. This is supposed to involve relationship, tolerance, submitting to one another, being sensitive to one another's feelings, and waiting until people feel ready to decide something, even if some of the brothers have vaginas and aren't allowed to attend brothers' meetings. But all too often, the one mind thing is most easily accomplished by shutting up all dissenting or questioning voices, like Russell's and Joe McCrum's. Frequently, the claim is made that there's one mind and that the assembly has now made an assembly decision and we can't question it. But often it's really two or three guys doing it. They may not even inform the people who assemble to form the actual assembly exactly what's going on, or listen to them, or answer their questions at all. And it's really not supposed to work that way. Now, Russell really took things beyond people's comfort level when he actually brought in a video camera to videotape all of the administrative punishing that was being railroaded through his assembly. He wanted the faces of the people doing it to be visible on the tape, so they could not later deny anything about what position they took in the matter, what role they played, or what they said, or if they walked out. Because, as I said, there was a whole lot of walking out and denying all manner of things, and Russell was going to capture it on tape. This is what tends to cause TW divisions. A couple of old guys simply decide upon some administrative punishment beforehand, then announce it as a done deal in the official meeting, and refuse to share information or discuss it with the middle-aged guys. They often have not gone and visited the person in question, despite having told everyone they would. They at that point claim to be helpless to do anything at all, but bow to the assembly decision they themselves have just made up out of their own heads. And they punish anyone who does anything but sit silently as letters to be sent on behalf of the assembly are read aloud. Anything else is rebelling against God himself. Now, this is not what Darby and Kelly and so on intended. So Russell videoed the disciplinary proceedings in a decade when TW brethren really weren't supposed to even have televisions. Outrageous. I wish I could say that the kinds of stuff Russell was videoing are things I never saw in person myself, but I attended Nepean Brothers meetings leading up to the 1991 division we all invented, and I cannot exaggerate how childish it often got. I really can't. It definitely takes someone like Russell, though, to actually go so far as to bring in a video camera, to not be afraid of acting ridiculous in middle age in order to highlight, italicize, and underline and boldface how ridiculous everything had gotten. So Russell sat there with his video camera in his lap, mostly to record audio, at brothers' meetings and after Lord's Day morning announcements of decisions. After one of the latter, he was mockingly told by Mrs. Dubois, "Russell, Russell, why don't you try to take a picture of the Lord Jesus? Try and take his picture, why don't you?" In Russell questioning and videoing her husband as he demanded his right for quiet obedience as he read letters silencing and kicking out people, Mrs. Dubois seemed to feel that Russell was opposing the very work of Christ himself. he who could not be captured on video, who is behind all of these assembly decisions to kick out and silence everyone. Russell told Mrs. Dubois he lacked the equipment to do so, but duly took Mrs. Dubois' picture for her. Too often, in RTW groups, the power goes to those who've been there longest. Old godly. One must take into account pedigree and ancestors. One of the Brethren patriarchs quoted in Henry's pamphlet is an ancestor of Russell's. And not everyone gets more patient and tolerant and mellow with age. Sometimes it really goes the other way. One thing that seems obvious to me from matters such as these is that human systems often seem willing to utterly subvert the original intentions of their founders and figureheads. I think Darby, Kelly, Rule, McIntosh, Potter, and all the rest were seeking men, discontented with the Anglican Church mostly, looking for something new. The trouble for seeking men is that eventually they decide on things and a system is set up and stays in place for generations, becomes old. They are now the long-dead creators of what is now the status quo. Gone is the we-are-seeking-things mentality, and all is soon run by people of a very we-have-it-together-now attitude. The pervading spirit becomes one of feeling that, in terms of doctrine, we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. Complacent, smug, Laodicean lukewarm. And soon enough, a new generation of seeking men is going to want to tear it apart when they see things not working right. Men with questions. Because seekers tend to delve into dark corners. They're not afraid of conflict or change. They go too far and say too much. They question everything. Who knows what they might do? Best to just get rid of them. We don't need them. Now, if only we can agree as to who of us get to count as we and who doesn't. But back to our story. Brother Dubois is trying to read the Brooklyn Assembly a letter. It announces to neighboring assemblies that they, the Brooklyn Assembly, have made an assembly decision to punish Dennis Ryan for questioning another unspecified assembly decision. The assemblies who received this letter are to ensure Dennis is silent when visiting them too, or there will be brothers' meetings to pay. The men of the Brooklyn Assembly itself are interrupting and asking questions about when exactly was this assembly decision supposedly made, and why they made it, and who is the we who have made it, as many still don't agree. Can't debate it now, they are told. It's an assembly decision. Can't fight those. Questioning it would be rebellion against God-given authority, and thus God himself. Speaking out at this point is railing. It's basically like a huge game of ecclesiastical, I know you are, but what am I, with some I'm rubber, you're glue tossed in as well. This is how it all too often goes among the gathered saints, with only the names and dates changed over and over and over, and has for over 100 years. Note the claim to be saints gathered to the name of the Lord, rather than to be doing all this in his name, as per Matthew 18 and 20, or on his behalf in any way. Not sure where feeding his lambs would come into all of this. The flock certainly seems to be getting scattered, though. It's hard to even help people follow the basic plot of these shenanigans, especially if, unlike me, they did not grow up following secondhand accounts of brothers' meetings the way regular kids followed football and hockey. I was following brothers' meeting intrigue since well before I could drive. Our house was full of talk of little else. In Brooklyn, shortly after this Russellgate thing, quite predictably, another letter was read. It announced to the Brooklyn Assembly that there'd been another assembly decision that they, the Brooklyn Assembly, had all made. It had been decided that it would be really for the best if Russell and his friends were no longer part of the Brooklyn Assembly, or in fact, the Brethren movement worldwide. A sad responsibility, sadly carried out by godly, faithful, elderly men. Those few old men had kicked Russell and Dennis and Joe out, as what my father would call SH disturbers, for refusing to bow to assembly decisions the assembly simply could not agree about, let alone decide. It's like a big, odd game of musical chairs, only whoever walks out of the room at a given moment either wins the whole game or loses it. It's all about getting people on your side, with fear and manipulation of scripture. It's about cowing the flock, bullying the sheep, a huge game of ecclesiastical chicken. Russell had gotten the wrong people's goats in this instance. Open Brethren, by contrast, officially appoint their elders outright. So in an open group, men like Dubois and Eustace could hold official power that the others would perhaps be in no position to question. Or, depending on the place, people in an open group might be able to remove Dubois and Eustace from eldership appointment if the position was being abused, and replace them with someone else.